George Dilla's stories and personal essays have appeared in North American Review, Driftwood, Third Wednesday, Current, Traverse, Literal Latte, Christian Science Monitor, and other publications. A native Detroiter and graduate of Wayne State University, George now lives with his wife Judith in the Lake Michigan coastal town of Ludington, where he directs the activities of Ludington Visiting Writers, a literary program he founded in 2001. Have I missed anything, George?
Well, that just about covers my literary life for sure.
Don't you also manage a magazine out there from Ludington?
Well, part of what Ludington Visiting Writers does is publish Driftwood. So that was published actually and started by somebody on the other side of the state many years ago. And when they got ready to go on to other things, they asked us if we wanted to do it. And so we took it on. So I've never considered myself a literary magazine editor or publisher, but somehow we got that Driftwood, and we've been doing it ever since.
Okay. Well, we're here mostly today to talk about your brand new story collection called Nothing More to Tell. But before we move on to that, can you tell us a little bit more about the Ludington Visiting Writers program?
Well, when Judith and I moved to Ludington a little over 10 years ago, I am a writer. I know lots of writers. I know writers are always looking for places to go and read their work. And here we were in this little town that didn't have a lot of cultural activity. And so we thought, well, what can we add? What can we do in this town to kind of add to the cultural life? And so starting a writer's reading series seemed to be a natural. Mm-hmm. And so I started calling some of the writers around the state that I knew, and they said, oh, we'd love to come to Ludington to read. So that was kind of the way it started. That first year we had 11 visiting writers. The second year we had our first weekend conference. A couple of years after that we had a big poetry festival where we invited about 25 Michigan poets. We've been having conferences and readings and workshops and activities ever since.
Nice. Now,
and I think we've kind of put Ludington on the literary map. I know many, many Michigan writers who kind of consider Ludington their second home or their second literary home and love to come here and read for us and do workshops and things like that.
Wonderful. So, about your new collection, Nothing More to Tell, 9 stories. I read that recently and very much enjoyed it. Would it be fair to say, George, that the theme I'd almost see throughout is it fair to call these anti-heroes your main characters and all of them?
Well, I guess they are. They're heroes in a way and anti-heroes in a way. They're just kind of normal people trying to cope with whatever comes their way, and I let them show me who they are. When I start a story, I really don't have a story full blown in my mind. Sometimes I wish I could write that way; it might make it a lot easier. But I don't have a great information or knowledge about what the story will turn out to be. So I let the characters, whether they're anti-heroes or just average people or heroes, kind of, expose themselves to me as I write. And, boy, they really surprise me by what they come up with, you know.
Oh, do they?
I'm constantly amazed by the things they do and they say. Sometimes I don't know from one sentence to the next what they're going to do, and they always seem to surprise me. But hopefully it's a good group. I love them all. I think a writer has to love their characters, and so I guess anti-hero would be as good a description as any.
Yeah.
Just trying to cope with life.
Well, there are some moments when it's hard to love them. There is one of the stories, in fact, the title story has Vincent Root. He's driving a car while he passes a couple of young teenage girls and can't seem to keep his eyes off of them, and turns around for a second look, and then something really terrible happens. I won't give that completely away, but is there a message here for aging men?
Well, I don't think the message is anything but how do you deal with something terrible that you do? You know, and I think Vincent Root feels incredible guilt about what he has done. And how he deals with that is really what the story is about. He does not deal with it very well.
No, it's quite a shocking ending. I won't say what it is, but it's quite something.
But you know, I think that that's kind of the theme that I wanted to explore in that story is what happens when someone commits an act, even if it's an accident, the way Vincent Root is, that is just a really terrible thing. How do they live with that? How do they deal with that for the rest of their lives? I think also, you know, it's the same thing. It is true of families. We see a person in a family just doing a horrible act, and we think, how does the rest of the family deal with that? You know, it's really, I think, a part of our lives these days that we all seem to experience something that we have to live through. And Vincent Root, regrettably, doesn't do a very good job of living through this thing that he has done.
Yeah. And something maybe a little similar in your lead story, Lessons My Father Taught Me, is about a father and son who actually burglarize the neighborhood together, something like steal together, stay together.
Well, I guess so. You know, I just love those characters. I mean, I know they're thieves, and stealing from your neighbors is not a good thing. But hopefully there's something in them to like. You know, I think that everybody has good and bad in them. And for sure, the young boy who is the narrator of the story, Buddy Weed, there are really good things about him, and he really does good things with his life after this robbery spree. So there are things, good things about Vincent Root as well, you know. So, you know, hopefully there is good and bad in all of these characters. One of the stories I thought you would mention, if we're looking for bad characters, is the story called Pizza Pie, which is about a...
Oh, yeah, I'm heading there.
okay. about a paid killer whose normal job during the day is... as a maintenance man in an elementary school, and he does a pretty good job of it, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting up in years and has a girlfriend and seems to be a good fellow, except for this one thing that he does, which is kill people for hire. So even in Vincent, I don't want you to get the idea that I'm condoning such behavior, because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But even this character hopefully has some kind of redeeming values that that we can look at and say, well, it's a whole character. It's not just a one- or two-dimensional character, but a three-dimensional character.
Yeah, yeah. And something along the same lines, My Urologist, My Psychologist, where you take a very close look at a man who is dealing with some pretty serious biases, and how he expresses that in front of his family. That's another one that's almost painful to read.
Well, hopefully not painful, so painful. yeah, he is. I mean, I consider that story a love story. Don't you? I mean, it's about love. It really is.
Yeah.
His urologist has to deal with his kind of love, and the main character has to deal with his kind of love, and they don't and especially the main character, the protagonist of the story, doesn't deal with it very well, but he deals with it the best he can.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hopefully that story as well, you know, has a little bit of hope at the end, a little bit of, you know, positive feelings about this guy who again, is, I guess you could call him an anti-hero, but he has a wonderful wife and two great daughters and a successful business, and he's not all bad, you know.
Yeah, you're right. No, none of us are all bad. None of us are all good. And I guess that's kind of what I see coming through in this collection is that, and also that you don't really know the people around you. Like you said, with the pizza pie man, that can be your janitor at school. And at the same time, he can be the neighborhood hitman. So
we do not know the people around us very well, I don't think.
Or even ourselves.
Well, that's true, too. And, you know, like I say, sometimes, well, not sometimes, all the time, it seems that, you know, my characters seem to surprise me with the kinds of things that they do and say. I guess we surprise ourselves with what we do and say sometimes. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, we maybe, like the characters in my book, kind of reveal ourselves to us as life goes on. But I think that these people, you know, are just trying to make it through life, dealing with extraordinary circumstances that come their way, and some of them do it really well, and some of them don't do it very well.
Yeah. Was this a collection that you put together kind of in one long sitting, and I don't mean that literally, but kind of in one time span, or are these stories that you've gathered over many years?
Well, I would say these stories are all stories that I wrote, probably in the 5 years before the book was published.
Okay.
I'm a very, very slow writer. And if I finish two or three short stories in a year, that's really good for me. So these were collected over a period of 5 or 6 years before the story was published.
Okay.
I mean, before the book was published.
By
Now people say, well, when is your next coming out?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on when I have 9 or 10 more stories. You know, they come very, very slowly, unfortunately.
Oh, no, it's going to be another 10 years?
I hope not, you know, but, you know, it just, I don't know why, but, you know, the way I write is just takes a long, long time. Like I say, you know, I wish I could have a story full in my head and just sit down and write it, and I've never been able to do that. The story kind of develops as I go along, and that for me is a fairly long process. Of course, after the story is done, it's not really done. You have to
sit there
for several weeks and then look at it again. And, you know, so it's a long process to write a short story.
By any chance, George, do you have an excerpt handy that you could read to us?
Oh, I would love to do that. Maybe from that first story.
Okay, just a paragraph or two.
Sure. I'll just start right at the beginning of it. This is the story called Lessons My Father Taught Me, and I think what the story is about will be evident in the first sentence, and it starts like this. During the summer I was 15, on a muggy July night, with nothing much else to do, my father and I began working together, stealing from our neighbors. "Hey boy, want to have some fun?" he asked me. The sun finally set. The crickets singing like crazy out in the fields. "Sure," I said. "Me and Buddy's going out," he called to my mother. "So go," she called back from the kitchen, where she was cleaning the 3 steelhead I'd caught that day, all 5-pound beauties. He tossed me the keys to the pickup, and the screen door slammed behind us like a pistol shot. Garson and Buddy Weed were about to embark on a crime spree that would eventually have all of Mason County, Michigan, talking. So that kind of gives you a preview of that story.
Yeah, that's a great lead, great opening. You're reading soon in Kalamazoo, George. Can you tell us where, when, where can we go hear you?
Well, I will be reading actually on Wednesday night, the 22nd of August. It's going to be at the Michigan News Agency, which is just a wonderful, wonderful store. It has really, I think, probably become the place in Kalamazoo for this kind of event, for author events and readings. So I'm really pleased that I will be there. I think that the schedule is that at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night will be a book signing, and then at 6:30 the reading, and I would guess it would go until not later than 7:30. That's kind of what I expect, and I'm really looking forward to being there.
Yeah,
I love Kalamazoo. I have a lot of friends in Kalamazoo. In fact, you know, through Ludington Visiting Writers, I've had many Kalamazoo area writers come up to Ludington to read for us and do workshops and things like that. So I feel like I kind of have some ties to Kalamazoo.
And if we want to learn more about you, you have a website, don't you?
I do, and it's really easy. It's www.georgedilla.com.
Okay.
George Dilla, all one word, and spelled with one L. And anybody that wants to know a little more about me or my books can check it out there.
Okay. And to finish this off, I'm going to kind of circle back to your pizza pie story where the hitman is, he always asks his victims before he pulls that trigger, your last words. So what are your last words, George?
Well, my last words, I guess, would be that although my story collection is called Nothing More to Tell, I hope that I have a heck of a lot more to tell, and that I'm working on it, and that I hope to see a lot of people Wednesday night in Kalamazoo.
Wonderful. Thank you, George. We'll see you then.
Thank you very much for calling.